THE EGO MACHINE by Henry Kuttner Part 1 When a slightly mad robot, drunk on AC, wants you to join an experiment in optimum ecology, don't do it. After all, who wants to argue like Disraeli or live like Ivan the Terrible? Chapter 1 Nicholas Martin looked up at the robot across the desk. "I'm not going to ask you what you want," he said in a low, restrained voice. "I already know. Just go away and tell St. Cyr I approve. Tell him I think it's wonderful putting a robot in the picture. We've had everything else by now except the Rockettes. But clearly a quiet little play about Christmas among the Portuguese fishermen on the Florida coast must have a robot. Only, why not 6 robots? Tell him I suggest a baker's dozen. Go away." "Was your mother's name Helena Glinska?" the robot asked. "It was not," Martin said. "Ah, then she must have been the great hairy one," the robot murmured. Martin took his feet off the desk and sat up slowly. "It's quite all right," the robot said hastily. "You've been chosen for an ecological experiment, that's all. But it won't hurt. Robots are perfectly normal life forms where I come from, so you needn't..." "Shut up," Martin said. "Robot, indeed. You bit player. This time St. Cyr has gone too far." He began to shake slightly all over with some repressed but strong emotion. The intercom box on the desk caught his eye, and he stabbed a finger at one of the switches. "Get me Miss Ashby, right away." "I'm so sorry," the robot said apologetically. "Have I made a mistake? The threshold fluctuations in the neurons always upset my mnemonic norm when I temporize. Isn't this a crisis point in your life?" Martin breathed hard, which seemed to confirm the robot's assumption. "Exactly," it said. "The ecological imbalance approaches a peak that may destroy the life form unless... Now, either you're about to be stepped on by a mammoth, locked in an iron mask, assassinated by helots, or... Is this Sanskrit I'm speaking?" He shook his gleaming head. "Perhaps I should have got off 50 years ago, but I thought... Sorry. Goodbye," he added hastily as Martin raised an angry glare. Then the robot lifted a finger to each corner of his naturally rigid mouth and moved his fingers horizontally in opposite directions as though sketching an apologetic smile. "No, don't go away," Martin said. "I want you right here where the sight of you can refuel my rage in case it's needed. I wish to God I could get mad and stay mad," he added plaintively, gazing at the telephone. "Are you sure your mother's name wasn't Helena Glinska?" the robot asked. It pinched thumb and forefinger together between its nominal brows, somehow giving the impression of a worried frown. "Naturally, I'm sure," Martin snapped. "You aren't married yet, then, to Anastasia Zakharina Koshkina?" "Not yet or ever," Martin replied succinctly. The telephone rang. He snatched it up. "Hello, Nick," said Erica Ashby's calm voice. "Something wrong?" Instantly, the fires of rage went out of Martin's eyes to be replaced by a tender rose-pink glow. For some years now, he had given Erica, his very competent agent, 10% of his take. He had also longed hopelessly to give her approximately a pound of flesh, the cardiac muscle, to put it in cold, unromantic terms. Martin did not. He put it in no terms at all, since whenever he tried to propose marriage to Erica, he was taken with such fits of modesty that he could only babble, "Oh, green fields." "Well," Erica repeated, "something wrong?" "Yes," Martin said, drawing a long breath. "Can St. Cyr make me marry somebody named Anastasia Zakharina Koshkina?" "What a wonderful memory you have," the robot put in mournfully. "Mine used to be, before I started temporizing, but even radioactive neurons won't stand..."